Hi there, welcome to The Health of Being a Medium. This is a new lesson that was added to my program in 2017. The reason why this lesson was added is because myself have gone through a ton of life lessons with something that's called psychic or medium burnout. Now, there are different types of burnout. There's a spiritual burnout, and then there's a psychic burnout, but they're very similar. Spiritual burnout often occurs for people who are working, such as mediums, caregivers, healers, any profession in which someone gives a great deal to others and does not receive much in the way of compensation or appreciation. And that can often lead to a spiritual burnout. And then there's people who work in healthcare, teaching, healing, the arts, counselors, social workers, or maybe even those who work in the justice system, they can be highly prone to a spiritual burnout if they don't take care of their own needs or nurture themselves. So we have a spiritual burnout, people who work in professions of giving constantly, and then we have a psychic burnout, and that is people like psychics and mediums and healers who are connecting with a Christ-conscious energy connecting to the other side. So mediums and healers can be susceptible to a psychic burnout if they are giving too much and too often. And usually, and I know this may sound shocking to you, but the rate of a medium's burnout is typically 2 years. And let me tell you why. In the beginning, when you first learn to be a psychic and a medium, it's almost like you're reawakening something. Like you're, oh my gosh, I'm remembering everything I used to know. And you're so on fire that you just want to go. And you don't care if people pay you, and you don't care. It's not about money. It's about, look what I can do. And it's so amazing. And I love this. I love the feeling I get. I'm like, wee! And you're just on this huge high. And you're getting message after message after message, and you're just going and going and going. And it's like you're climbing this roller coaster. And I've seen this happen with my students all the time. And I've said, listen, pace yourself. This is the rest of your life. It's not going to wait. You're not going to wake up one morning and not be a medium. You're going to be a medium for the rest of your life. You're going to talk to dead people for the rest of your life now. Pace yourself. And so often the student doesn't listen. Whee! And they just keep going and going and going. And they don't understand that every single time you do a reading, you use up physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual energy from your body, from your mind, from your spirit, from your soul. So I want you to think about it. I want you to imagine all of that energy, your physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual, is like a sink full of water. And every time you do a reading, you pull the drain. And every time you don't take time for yourself, you don't turn the tap on to fill the basin of water. You're just draining, draining, draining. Draining. You have to turn the tap on. Now, what happens if you drain the plug and you turn the tap on at the same time? The levels actually never raise, they stay the same. You can only maintain that for so long. And what's going to end up happening is you're going to overflow the drain, you're going to run out of water. Somehow it's like this is only going to go on for so long. So what you need to do is drop the drain, turn the tap on, fill the basin, shut the tap off. Pull the drain, let some of the water go down, drop the drain, turn the tap on, fill the basin. That's balance. It's in balance to have them both open at the same time, and it's in balance to have one open without the other. Now, if you left the drain in and you turn the tap on, the basin would also overflow, in which case that would be a psychic or a medium who is just, you know, receiving and receiving and receiving and receiving and not giving back in some way. So it's likely hopefully that you'll be able to listen and to heed this. And I'm going to tell you some ways to take care of your health and to maintain proper boundaries. Hopefully you'll listen and you'll never reach a psychic burnout. But if you're like, ah, that Carmel, she doesn't know what she's talking about. She doesn't know me. I mean, I got this. I can handle this. You're going to experience the symptoms of a psychic burnout. Exhaustion, depression, dread either before or after giving a healing or reading, feelings of unbearable responsibility, feeling overwhelmed, crying for no reason, crying often, being overtired, insomnia, difficulty getting out of bed, restlessness, procrastination, avoidance, constant illness, sick all the time, back problems, colds, headaches, migraines, aches, pains, you name it, stomach problems, bowel problems, problems with your heart, difficulty breathing, anxiety, panic attacks, extreme weight loss or extreme weight gain, hair loss, irritability, and the desire to avoid people. Those are all symptoms that you're cooked. You're done now. Your basin is so empty and so dry that it doesn't matter if you turn the tap on right away. You're going to need to let that water run to be able to replenish this. And once you've reached that point, the best remedy for you is to take a break and to rest. You need to take a sabbatical from everyone and everything and to really nurture yourself physically, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually. You have to attend to your own needs and make sure that you do things that give you joy and give yourself permission to do nothing for a while, if that's what you need. So many people ignore the signs of burnout and exhaustion, and they refuse to take care of themselves, and I was one of them, until they actually become ill. But it doesn't have to get to that point. Honestly, it can be avoided. I was refusing to look at what the truth and what was happening. And the tsunami hit, and it kept hitting, and it kept getting bigger because I refused to let other people down. I was convinced that if I moved a reading, I was letting someone else down. And that in truth, I was not the best medium that I could be, and I was not honoring what spirit or me needed. Even the spirits on the other side do not want you to give a reading unless you are physically, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually well. Because your reading on a scale of 1 to 10 is going to be a 3. And now I trust spirit emphatically so much that if I am not an 8 or plus in my health, I don't do the reading. That's it. I had a client whose reading, three brothers, their readings were moved 12 times. 12 times. Over a period of 3 years. And I started to wonder, what's happening? I would get up in the morning, 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, I'd be throwing up, I'd phone the girls, I'd say, I don't know what's wrong, I got a stomach bug, I'm throwing up, I'm so sick. And they'd say, oh, that makes sense, it's the brother's reading today. And I think, what is happening? Like, why does this just keep happening to me? And so I figured it out. When I got into the reading, one of the things that the spirits, the mother of these brothers, told me was that she was gay. And the brothers, by the time the reading has come along, had finally gotten to the point where they were cleaning out her house and they found her journals. The mother did not want me to be the one to tell them. She wanted them to find the journals. She knew that they were skeptics, and that if I had told them, if it came from me telling them that their mother was gay, they would have never believed me, they would have thought it was a farce, and they would have chalked their reading up as being invalid. But because they had already known in the journals when I said it, They got the validation that it was real and that she was really with them. That spirit moved that reading 12 times until that happened with those boys. I cannot control what a spirit wants on the other side. I can only control myself. And I just had to let go. I had to let go to the best possible outcome for them and for me. The best way to avoid a spiritual or a psychic burnout is to make sure that your life is balanced and that all your needs are being met. And so that meant that every time the brothers' readings got moved, if I took on layers of guilt and shame and ridicule, and if I felt bad, and if I ate the water, if I drank the poison of feeling like this was my responsibility, and if I didn't have a deeper, higher, spiritual, elevated understanding of listening to spirit on the other side, then I never would have gotten to provide the healing that they needed at that time. And yet, the spirit was still finding ways to make me sick because I was the medium who wouldn't listen to my intuition. So unless she got me some form of not well, I would wake up in the morning and do the reading. Even if she had come to me and said, don't do it, I would have said, oh, it's been moved 6 times. How can I not do this reading? Now, I don't have to get sick anymore. If I wake up in the morning and the spirit says no, it doesn't happen. And by gosh, the egos and the anger and the frustration from the client does not matter to me. I will not eat the guilt and the frustration of them. Instead, I am a highly evolved, skilled, amazing medium who trusts and believes in the other side. And I know that it will happen when it needs to happen, how it needs to happen, because I know that it is not my job to affect the karma and the lives of others. Make sure that your physical needs are being met. You need to make sure that you're eating really good and wholesome food, that you're drinking lots of water, because dehydration can cause a lot of the symptoms. Get plenty of exercise to move the energy out of the body and raise the endorphins. Make sure you meet your emotional needs by spending time with friends and loved ones, by making time for recreation and for the things you enjoy. For me, that's my horses. That fills my cup like you have no idea. Meet your mental needs by reading or by going to classes or lectures. Take a cooking class. Do something different. Do something outside healing. And keep things fresh by learning new things. Meet your spiritual needs by connecting with others who are like-minded and like-hearted. A lot of psychics and mediums are givers who tend to give of themselves until there is nothing left. You have to receive from the universe in order to replenish your energy. You must fill yourself up until your cup overflows. Then give it to others from what is overflowing. We live in an abundant and a divine universe, and you have to remain in the flow. If you give of your time without receiving in return, you're going to become empty, you're going to become exhausted. And the other thing is you have to remember there's so many of us that want to give away to our friends and family, and that also can contribute to our burnout because people treat us like we're trained monkeys. Hey, do you just think you could, oh, hey, my friend, oh, what about this? Oh, you know what? Could you just like give me like one little message? Like, could you pull a card for me in the beginning? And we teach people how to treat us. So I'm guaranteeing you, you're like me in the beginning. Absolutely. I would love to do it. Learn, 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 learn. But it comes a point that you really have to remember, I have to have balance. This is taking my physical energy away from me. And am I in a place where I can drain my bowl right now? Because if I've only got a cup of water left in my basin bowl, I need to make sure that I can turn that tap on and that the well's not dry. A lot of people hold the belief that one shouldn't charge for a mediumship or a psychic reading because it's a gift from God. Being a psychic is a gift and it's a calling. But in order for you to serve the greatest number of people, it needs to be handled professionally so that people can find you and receive this gift from you. And if you don't charge adequately for it, it means that you have to support your needs in some other way, which is going to leave you very little energy to help others. So let me give you an example. The only way that I would be able to not charge for my readings was to go back 10 years ago, 12 years ago, and my husband goes back to work. He's a heavy-duty mechanic. I'm back to homeschooling my children, who are still 16 years old. I'm back to doing all my laundry and cleaning and cooking and doing all those things in my house, doing all of my own accounting and payroll, booking my own appointments. Now I can see maybe a client or two a week. That's okay. I can give it away for free. No problem. But then you have people who say, she's inaccessible, I can't get a hold of her, I want a reading, I needed you now, I needed this, I needed. So when that started happening and the business started to grow, I had to pay people. Right now, I have 8 full-time staff that work for me, I have 5 part-time staff that work for me, and I have an event staff or crew that I hire as we go into events. And outside of the full-time people and the part-time people that work for me, I still have a family who contributes with every single thing that's going on. I have an overhead of rent, power, gas. I have an overhead of website costs, expenses. I mean, you name it, I have to pay for it. And trust me when I tell you, the more that you grow, the more you will pay. It all balances out in the end. So you have to, if you want to take this from something that you're doing in your spare time and you want to become of service and you want to step up the plate and you want to be professional, then we had to make choices. My husband let go of a very successful heavy-duty mechanic business and became the person who stayed at home and homeschooled our children. And now that our ranch has become a business of itself with the horses and with all the other things, we're both doing that aspect of business and both doing Carmel Joy Baird business. So from the outside looking in, things can look really easy. Things can look really black and white, but it's not. There's a lot of gray. So you're going to have to take time off periodically to recharge your batteries, and your clients are not going to like to wait, but you're going to be able to serve them better if you're energized rather than exhausted. Being a medium takes a great deal of energy. You're connecting with another person's soul. You're reading what is going on in their body and their emotions. And often connecting with a number of other people who are connected to your client at the same time. A reading for one person can actually involve reading the 10 other people that they might ask about. This can even be more draining if you're performing mediumship and connecting to those who have passed on. You're helping people heal their wounds and their past traumas, addressing things that they've never addressed with anyone else. If you're an empathic, so if you're an empath, you'll have to be particularly careful of burnout because you'll be taking all of these energies into your body and feeling it through your heart. It's important to fully release and disengage from your clients after your session. And if you do any hands-on healing, I want you to wash your hands all the way up to your elbows in cold water to release other people's energies from your body. So let's talk about just mediums for a second. So when you sit down with a client, the first thing you don't know, I mean, you could start to know as they're coming into the reading, but when someone books with you, typically you don't know how many clients or how many spirits you're going to be connecting with. So they could have one spirit on the other side. They could have 20 spirits on the other side. And I know you think that's an exaggeration, but that's happened. So you're connecting on a physical energy level with all of the spirits on the other side, but you're also connecting with the living person that's sitting in front of you and all their garbage and all their junk and all their health problems and all their fighting with their husband and all their relationship problems and all their career problems and all their stuff that they have going on, you're connecting with that also. Oh, and they're dead people. That is a lot. So you have to maintain strong boundaries. It's really important for your well-being. Every morning you should surround yourself in a bubble of white light. It's your protective shield and your force field in the world that protects your personal space. I just want you to imagine that you're receiving a beam of white light from the great central universe that enters your body through the top of your head, fills your body with light, wisdom, guidance, and energy. Imagine that light pouring into your body until it overflows from the top of your head and completely surrounds you with love and protection. And maintain that bubble of light around you whenever you're working with others. Another aspect of maintaining healthy boundaries is to set firm perimeters for your work. So you're going to set fixed hours for working with clients. I remember in the beginning, I'd have clients coming over at 7 o'clock in the morning, seeing me before they went to work. And I'd have clients seeing me at 10 o'clock at night, seeing me when they got home from work or when their husband or spouse or children had gone to bed. And even though that wasn't what was good for me, I was doing what was good for them. Make sure that you take care of yourself. And you can be flexible if it works for you. But you are the first person that you need to keep in mind. Be mindful of clients who have emergencies or who are in desperation. Sometimes it can be vital to attend to these situations immediately, but it's going to take a tremendous amount of energy. And you have to calm them down first. When people are desperate, it's like they're drowning. And as any lifeguard knows, they could take you down with them if you're not careful. Sometimes you're going to need to let a little time pass for things to cool down, for them to get some balance, and for things to sort of settle in. And listen to your intuition. And you'll know in your intuition, do I need to jump in, act, jump, you know, can I get in there now? Or does this need to take some time? Keeping everything professional as possible is going to help you maintain your boundaries and stay grounded. But it also serves your clients, because the more professional you are, the more relaxed and confident your clients are going to feel. Clearly state out your terms, your policies, and your preferences up front. My policies state that I have the right to move their reading within 12 months from the booked date of the reading, not from the date they book it. So if you phone me in 2014 and your booked reading is in 2017, from the date of your reading, I have a year to book it. Because they're not even on my radar. I mean, they're with my staff. They're not even on my energetic radar until the date of that reading. So then I have 12 months from the date of the reading to be able to book it. And there have been clients that I've had to book without the perimeters, like outside their policies. And then I have to make a decision. Do I go with spirit and move the reading and say, hey, you can have a refund and not get a reading from me, or you can hang out with me and be patient with me and work with me until the time of your reading? And you know what? I have so many people who say, this is so unprofessional. This is so wrong. You are not buying a pair of jeans. This is not a piece of jewelry. This is not a hair product. This is spirit. This is energy. This is not a deck of cards. This is not going in and buying a bottle of ketchup. This is healing. This is divine intervention from the universe. You want that? When it is right and when it needs to be given to you and not before. Only work when you can give 100%. If you are feeling sick or exhausted, reschedule your appointment. It can be inconvenient to you and to your clients, but you need to be the best you can so you can truly be of service to them. And I have said this and I will say it again. There are so many people out there that have said, she was difficult to get into, she moved my appointment, I had to go through her staff, it was this day and then it was this day. And you know what? You can say all you want. Absolutely you can say that, because I listen to spirit. But no one will ever say that I am not the best medium in the world, because I listen to spirit. So do you want to be the medium who doesn't give the best readings and it was kind of so-so and I wasn't really impressed? Or do you want to be the medium who's known for blowing it out of the water and saying and giving messages that are unfathomably amazing? You decide. You do not want to give someone half a reading or a half-hearted reading. You have to take care of your own health so you can take care of others. It's best if you have a specific place where you do your work and you don't do anything else in that space. That creates a sacred space for your work and it keeps it separate from your life, which is why you don't have to have an office. It's really good for you to have a room. Don't forget to ground yourself. It's one of the most important things for avoiding spiritual burnout. Grounding before, during, and after work makes sure that your energy keeps moving through you and around you. It's going to also keep you from being really flaky, so making sure that you're really down to earth and that you can really connect with people in a grounded way. And one of the easiest ways to maintain grounding energy is to breathe deeply and slowly. So many people do not breathe adequately. Improper breathing can lead to burnout as the body and the brain become starved of oxygen and they can't function any longer. And you can use breath to center yourself in your body and to ground yourself in the earth. Most importantly, you can use breath to receive infinity from divine universe. So the more you breathe, the more you receive vital energy and you receive everything else you need to sustain your prosperity and your well-being. So the key to avoiding this burnout is to avoid becoming empty. So you allow yourself to receive infinity abundantly so you can continue to give freely and you can continue to serve others. Remember, it's a tremendous amount of pressure. It's a deep responsibility. You owe it to your clients and you owe it to yourselves to take care of yourself, to have balance, to eat the best food, to eat and drink the best of everything, to consider yourself and this isn't tooting your own horn and this isn't being, you know, unreasonable, but you have to treat yourself the best that you can. You're a healer. You're giving blessings of love. You have to work from your heart. One of the other things, and this is a side note, and I've never said this before, but I now focus on wearing white clothing when working with a client. And I see that as a protective shield so I do not absorb their energy. And I burn a white candle for purification and protection. And I invoke the assistance always, and I always have, of my guides, angels, and higher powers. And I always connect directly with Source, filling myself full with divine light, healing, wisdom, and guidance so that I can give to others from what infinity overflows me. I pay attention now to my physical needs. Even when I'm working, I'm very attuned. I drink a ton. See my big mason jars? I drink a ton of water. I maintain a strong distinction between my personal life and my work, so that going to work becomes a ritual to attuning to higher frequencies, and completing work becomes a process of grounding and release. I do not want anyone to go through what I had to go through to learn this lesson. I hope you've learned a lot. And please remember, you are so important. You are such an important healer in this world. Please take care of yourself so that you don't have to burn out, so that you don't have to get to a place where your basin is dry and you feel depleted and you feel stressed out. You can maintain balance. And you can cut off these things of the past so you never have to experience them.